If y'all will turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Hope everybody had a good week. Yeah? So far? Energy looks pretty good. School's out. Is that good for you guys or no? School's out. Is that good energy? Okay. For some people it's good. Not really? Okay. Not so much. All right. So, hey, I'm feeling extra thankful tonight. I feel, and that's kind of what our lesson's about tonight. I'm feeling very, very grateful. You know, and I know we've got a lot of pain and a lot of hurt in our church, and there are a lot of people, you know, that need one another. And I'm thankful for our church family, and I'm thankful, you know, that we love one another. I've got a coworker. Last week, had a headache, a real bad headache. Went to the doctor. They found a brain tumor. Did surgery. He was doing good. And then he developed a bleed on the brain and passed. So from Tuesday to Sunday, from discovery, you know, to him passing, a family's life changed. You know, and he had two children. You know, and he was a mechanic, and his group of mechanics, grown men, rough, tough mechanics, you know, are going to work Monday, they're all bawling, crying, upset. And, you know, I watched people come together and love each other and help each other and reach out to the family. And I just get real thankful around, you know, the power of people and the power of love. And the power of connection. It just means a lot. And we do that for each other and on behalf of one another, don't we? And, you know, our church family is no different. We help each other. And that's what we ought to do. So I won't share any details, but I filled in last week for the 3 through 6th grade class. And I went around the room and we did prayer requests. And we got the, hey, pray for my skint knee and pray for my dog that had puppies. I mean, these are typical, okay? But, you know, they were about 4 or 5 prayer requests that were dead serious. And they were very meaningful. And they were our kids that have, you know, real struggles that they deal with. And I'm sure all the parents know, you know, the issues and so forth. But we walk around a lot of times wearing our happy face and our mask, but there's a lot going on amongst us. And I say that to say this. This is where people get help and hope and connection. It's our family, right? And we need to be looking for ways to help one another. We do. And we need to be looking for ways to help those outside of here so we can extend ourselves, make ourselves, you know, an extension of Christ and do His work on His behalf. So, if you will turn to Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Very short reading tonight. In everything, give what? And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to look at 3 simple thoughts this evening. My thoughts are we should give thanks in spirit. We should give thanks in service. And we should give thanks in surrender. So what do I mean give thanks in spirit? We all carry an attitude. Some people call it a tood. We all carry a personality and an attitude. And when you're thankful and when you're appreciative, there's some things you can't be. Thankfulness and appreciation pushes out certain things. If you're thankful, you can't be arrogant. Because thankfulness has a partner called humility. If you're thankful, it's real hard to be bitter. Bitter means you were owed something you didn't get. Somebody did you wrong and you deserve better. But if you're thankful, it's hard to have bitterness around you. Thankfulness and appreciation, it's hard to be hopeless when you're thankful. Because when you're hopeless, you're focusing on the things that aren't there. You're focusing on the things that aren't available to you and the things you think you should have gotten. But when you're thankful, you're looking for the good stuff. You're looking for the things that are benefits. When you're thankful, it's hard to be prideful. Same as arrogance. Uh-oh. When you're thankful, it's real hard to be lazy. The plant where I work has been there for 60 years. 60 years. Not many companies can stand in one location for 60 years. And over, I tell our workforce, don't get complacent. Don't get lazy. Do you know that there's a company in Greece that I deal with? You guys know what's going on in Greece right now? They're in economic turmoil. They're in debt. For years now, they've been extending their debt, and there's no money. For ages, I think it's 20 to 35, the unemployment is 70%. My boss was just down there, and he said towns are boarded up. There's nobody in the town. Everybody is compressing into the urban areas where there's a little bit of opportunity. So there's a company that feeds me components, and the people that work on our parts that supply to me, some of them haven't been paid for 3 weeks. I don't know about y'all, but it gets hungry around my house if I don't get a paycheck for 3 weeks. And yet here we are, and we take things for granted. And we get lazy. And there are people going into work in other places with the hope that they're going to get paid. Because this company happens to be government-owned. So if the funds aren't there, they don't get paid. But they don't have other options, so they go ahead and they work, and maybe they get paid. I'm sure they will eventually. But we don't do... Didn't you guys... If you don't think you're going to get paid, do you go in? No. I'm thankful I don't have to worry about that today. Right? And if I can set thankfulness in my heart, then it'll make me work harder and not be lazy. There's some things I can't be if I'm thankful. There's some things we can't be if we're thankful. We can't be judgmental if we're thankful. It's real hard to go around on your high horse judging people if you've got appreciation and thankfulness in your heart. It's hard to be greedy if we're thankful. How many other things? You know, God would have us appreciate the things that He's done for us. And God wants to bless us. He does. But He wants us to be thankful for the things as they come. He does. He blesses a thankful heart. You know, as a dad, I bless a thankful heart in my children. I do. I had a situation. I think I've told this story before, but hopefully some of you don't remember it. But one of my daughters went into the drawer. I had a first generation. It was given to me, a first generation iTouch, 8 gigabytes. Does that mean anything to anybody? It might have been megabyte. I don't remember. Okay, maybe it doesn't mean anything to me. But it doesn't have much memory, and it doesn't do a whole lot. And she went into the drawer, and she found it. She said, "Hey, can I play with this? Can I have this?" "Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, this is awesome. Then we plug it in and we realize, you know, get the battery charged. We realize you can't download the latest software, so all the apps she's used to seeing, you can't get them. She's like, that's okay. I'll use it for what, you know, for what it can do. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't unthankful at all. She was happy about that. But as a dad who had some ability to do something, I saw that thankfulness for that little thing. And it was a couple of days she had a fifth generation iTouch that'll do anything we want it to do. And that's what God does for us. But if she just said, shh, I'm not going to be seen with this old stinking thing, right? I would say, well, that's what you got. Mm-hmm. So we can have an attitude of thankfulness around a lot of things in our lives. What about the bad things? What about the things that they don't look like they're blessings? I'm going to read to you a statement from Matthew Henry. He was he's got several commentaries out there. He's an old Bible scholar, and he was robbed by a man with a weapon. Okay, and he wrote about it later, and he said, "I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that God wrought such a change in my heart that it was I who was being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I am thankful that even though the young man took my money, he did not take my life also. I am thankful that even though he took my money bag, there wasn't much inside of it. And I'm thankful that I alone was injured and not any other person's. I'm also thankful that my life is so much more than earthly possessions. God has granted to me in my sojourn here, and I am thankful that even should I have lost my life in this encounter, I know heaven is waiting for me." That's somebody that took a bad thing and took a different look at it, right? And with thankfulness, you can't have bitterness, you can't have hopefulness, you can't be judgmental, you can't be arrogant. And that's represented in that story there. So God would have us give thanks in everything. So it makes a big difference in life if we strain to see the positive versus straining to see the negative. It affects the way you think and it affects those around you. Appreciation. So 5:18, Thessalonians, the First Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, we shake hands. Sometimes Brother Ken says greet one another and shake hands. And quite often we say, "I appreciate you." And that's the same thing as saying, "I love you." Just an expression of thankfulness and an attitude of appreciation. So, what do you think it means to tell somebody else that you appreciate them? Without sharing too much in my personal business, I got a text this week from my wife that said, "Thank you." And what do you think I said back? Come on, y'all. We can participate. It's Wednesday night. It's all right. For what? Oh, for what? That's exactly what I said. What? What did I do? And she told me what I did, and I thought, yeah, okay. All right. And I get tired during the week, y'all. I get tired, and it's long, just like y'all. It's long days, right? And I got a little energy boost out of that. I'll admit it, I did. And I walked a little taller and I felt a little better about myself. You know, speaking of that, Brother Dwayne, when he was teaching in the room in here, he had everybody write down their schedules, all the young married couples. And I thought I was unique with my schedule that I keep, Brother Ken. But then he had us all read it back, and I was just like everybody else. The workload that young people today or people today carry, I'm not unique at all. The long days, the whole deal that everyone has, you know, commitments and overcommitments to. In these young marriages, you don't think it helps for you to look at each other every now and then and say, thank you. I was talking to a group of folks at work the other day, and we were talking about appreciation, and I realized that my kids make straight A's, both of them, and they pretty much always have, and I'm very proud of that. But it's expected in my house. They expect it, and I expect it. And I can't remember the last time I really said, you know, that's a really big deal. Thank you, and I appreciate you making straight A's. What would that mean? And I feel, is that embarrassing to y'all? It embarrasses me. But I was thinking about that. I haven't said that in a while because it's just become normal. But that something like that shouldn't be normal, should it? And going to work every day and coming home and paying the bills and washing the dishes and making sure the house is clean and picked up, that shouldn't become normal either. Because that is extra. That is a standard that we set for ourselves that not everybody does. So it's to be appreciated. You know, I tell you, my mom's not here, but I got a spanking one time when I was a kid. And I did one time. You guys don't believe that, do you? It was a weird dynamic at my house. Because y'all please mess with her about this later, because she's not here to know what I said about her. But I got in trouble a lot, but I only remember one spanking in my entire life, because she had the talking to, Brother Mike. And the talking to went like this: I am so disappointed in what you did. I expect more, Brother Ken, than that. But the one spanking I got was for exactly what I'm talking about tonight. The one spanking I got was for not being appreciative. I got some blue jeans and I didn't really like the fit of them, Miss Renee. And I did my, you know, I'm not doing this. I think I was 5 or 6 years old. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And I'm sure she would have liked to have heard, thank you for the new blue jeans. I know you worked hard for those. But I was unappreciative. And I got my little bottom tore up. And I got to tell you, though, I appreciated the spanking because it felt a whole lot better than the talking's twos. Yeah? Did you get them too, brother? That's some bad stuff right there. It didn't work, did it, Brother David? I'm just saying. You think God notices when we're thankful? I think He does. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 17. Let's see what Jesus would have to say about being thankful. You know, there's something about being thankful that we've got to remember. If you think of the story of the talents, where the master handed out the talents to the servants, and then he went away, and he came back to see what had been done with those talents. So he gave one servant 5 talents. You guys all know this story. This is the Wednesday night crowd. He gave another, I think it was 2 talents. Is that right? 2 talents. And he gave, is that right, brother? Then he gave another 1 talent. And when he came back, the one person had doubled the talents, went from 5 to 10. And the next person had doubled the talents and went from 2 to 4. And the next person had taken the 1 talent and hid it in the ground. And the master had a kind of a strange reaction to that. To the one that made 5 into 10, he said, good and faithful servant. To the one that made 4 into 8, he said, good and faithful servant. But those are 2 different numbers, 4 or 8 and 10. But he saw them as equal because the same appreciation and the same energy and the same effort had been put into that gift that he'd given. And he was pleased. But the one that got 1, he was very upset. Because the one didn't put any energy into the talent that he was given. And I guarantee you he would have gotten good and faithful servant if the one had turned into two. He would. He doesn't expect us to turn one into five or ten. He expects us to put in our energy and turn what's given to us into something, right? To appreciate it enough and to honor it enough to turn it into something and to honor him. If God gives us salvation and he blesses us with such a great gift of salvation, don't hide that in the ground. Don't waste that. You know, we can't pay God back. We don't have any ability to pay God back for something like that. But oh, what a waste if we'd put that in the ground and not do anything with it. And we'd not appreciate that and show love with that. Or take advantage of that. So in Luke 17, verse 11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" You guys already know this story. We're going to go ahead and read it. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show thyselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." So they called out to Jesus. Jesus asked them to do something, or told them to do something. They did it, and they got a result. Anytime Jesus asks us to do something, encourages us, tells us to do something, if we'll do it, there will be a result. Every time. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" I think Jesus appreciated turning back and giving praise for the gift that had been given. We go through life every day being blessed, being taken care of. We live in America, for crying out loud. If you want it, apply yourself. Right? It's right here. It's right here. It's all out here in front of us. I may be the servant that gets 2, and the best I can do is make it 4. You may be the servant that gets 5, and the best you can do is make it 10. We may be the servant that gets 1, and the best we can do is make it 2. But it's a gift. And it's our abilities that's been given to us. And it's our blessing that's been given to us. Don't hide it in the ground. Don't waste it. We got to be appreciative to what God gives us. And not just for other sakes, but for our own sakes. Because, you know, I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be hopeless. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be judgmental. And I don't want to be greedy. Because if I'm any of those things, good things don't come to me and those around me in my life. Those things push good stuff away. I've watched so many people in my short life that had everything in the world that the world had to offer. All the gifts, all the talents, all the ability, all the opportunity. Everything's right there in front of them. And arrogance took it all away. Just too arrogant one more time. Just arrogant one too many times. And there it goes. Just a little bit of thankfulness, a little bit of humility can go so far. So thankfulness and appreciation in our spirit. Thankfulness and appreciation in our service. So I messed around and already taught some of this. But I'm going to go ahead and move to a sensitive topic here. It's in my notes. I got it covered. It's in my notes. Okay, it's not my fault. If it makes somebody mad, it's in my notes. There are a lot of ways we can serve God. And one way is to do what God's asked us to do with our money. It is. What we do with our money, what we do with the money God passes through us, is a great indication of how much we believe God is in control of our lives. It just is. He said, don't rob me of tithes and offerings. Tithes 10%. Offerings is something more than that. I'm a firm believer, and again, I don't know everything, but I'll just give you my perspective on things. I believe it's a tithe of the first fruits, and I believe it's a tithe of gross income, gross proceeds. I do. Well, that's a lot of money, brother. Well, okay. Whether it's $10 for us, $20, $500, or $1,000 a week that turns out to be for you, I guarantee you it's no easier, not that I would know this, but it's no easier to give $5,000 a week than it is to give $10 a week. if that's your tent. Okay? It's just as hard if your tenth is $10 as it is to give that $100 if that's your tenth. But guess what? He didn't ask everybody to give $100. He said, I'd love to. I command a tenth. I expect a tenth. I know I just gave you one talent because that's what's right for you. For whatever reason, we don't get to decide that. But I'd like a tenth of that talent back. But I may, you know, Brother Tim, he for whatever reason gets 10 talents. I want one of those. I want one of those every week. You know, every time it's allotted, I want it back. That's the allotment. So God has asked. God has commanded that. God's made that very clear in His Word. We don't do it. We're communicating a lack of faith, a lack of appreciation. Does that is that enough of that? All right. So you can't talk about commitment to God and not talk about that part of it. You just can't. Everything we do requires an exchange of funds. So it's integral to everything we do in our lives. Why wouldn't it be integral into how we express our faith and our commitment to God? I mean, we can't sell eggs or pay the contractors over here in eggs that are gonna build this wing on. Y'all know why I picked eggs as currency? Because Brother Rodney looks hungry. And I thought, now, would you take eggs, brother? I know you probably would, but that's all right. No, actually, the reason I picked eggs is my great-great-grandfather was a doctor out in Newell, Alabama, Dr. Robert Lover. Anybody know him? No? Okay. That killed that. All right. But he was a doctor out in Newell on the dirt road. And I have a newspaper clipping, an old newspaper clipping from him. And it was, during the Depression. And people had been paying him in chickens and eggs. And he had taken it as long as he could. And he had to put a paper, an article in the paper that said, I can't take it anymore. I can't pay my debts with chickens and eggs. And I can't buy medicine with that. So you guys are going to have to bring money from now on. So, you know, riches, yeah, okay. We're here for a season. Of course, we all would like to be, you know, blessed financially. And they say it takes stress off, or maybe it adds stress. I don't know. But there was a very rich man, billionaire, that was quoted as saying, They said he was worth about $4 billion. And he said, I'd give it all for one good friend. I don't have to give anything for my best friend. I don't have to wonder if he's going to leave me. I don't have to wonder if he's not going to be there. I don't have to wonder if he's too good or maybe I've fallen out because I didn't say something right or I didn't do something right. Because I don't do or say things right a lot. I've had friends, Brother Ken, that I haven't talked to for years because, I mean, one friend finally came back and told me I was just jealous. And that's why I didn't want to talk to you anymore. I'm like, my goodness.
Right.
We can't be friends because, what, we're in competition? What is that?
Right. Exactly right.
But Jesus is always there.
Right.
He's always there. And you don't have to worry about whether he's gonna be available to you or not because he yearns for a connection to us. He wants a connection with us. You know, there are situations like what I described at the opening where there's a loss. And many of us have been through it, right? And sometimes there are just no answers. There's just no way to explain it. There are no words. There's nowhere to go. But there's a friend that can bring peace into a situation that's greater than the answers that we seek. There's grace and peace and mercy that causes us to not even have to have the answer anymore because it's a peace. And there's only one friend that can do that for us. So, a friend in spirit, appreciation in spirit, appreciation in service, and appreciation in surrender. So there's still a lot of people out there, I know, that attend this church every Sunday. I mean, the house is full on Sundays, right? Some of us are here on Wednesday and we're still looking at this thing. Are these people for real? Is this stuff for real? You know, I've told this story a few times. When I first got exposure to this church and when the Lord... And I was not living right, y'all. I wasn't. I was in a bad place in my life. I was saved. But I just tell you, I was in a bad place. And we're all adults, and I'm ashamed of it. But the Lord showed me that and directed me back to this church. But I had become very jaded because the people that I was around always had an angle. You remember those people? Has it been so long that you've forgotten those people? Do y'all remember them? Always an angle. What can I get out of you? How can I benefit from knowing you? How can I trick you? How can I take something? So when I came to Liberty Baptist, I knew the Lord was drawing me. There was something there. I was one foot in, one foot out. I was trying to figure out what's going on. And I was looking real hard at these two people right here, Brother Ken and Miss Renee. And I was looking. I'm going to figure out their angle. Turned out they just loved us. They just wanted to love us. There wasn't an angle. There wasn't any self-benefit. It was all given. There's still people coming every Sunday that probably have that mindset. They're trying to figure out, what's the angle of this place? What is it that they're trying to trick me into? What is this? What's going on? Don't give them any reason to doubt us, y'all. Let's love them. Let's appreciate them. Let's show them Christ in our lives. Let's don't show them our human stuff, our petty stuff, our junk that we're very capable of, by the way. Me too. Let's show them the best we can show them. Don't be fake. You know, let's be real. Let's try to love people. So, those of us who are here trying to figure out if this stuff is for real, I always like to think back to C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis was a writer back, I think it was in the 1800s. I don't have it in my notes, but he wrote a lot of different literature. Some of it, he was a professor. So he wrote some of the coolest stuff that's not related to Christianity. But he became a Christian, and he was a very deep thinker. And he created some imaginary worlds in his works that communicated the Spirit of God. And he created a book called Mere Christianity, where he broke down Christianity in a very simplistic way. And one thing that he said in his writings that's always stuck with me, and I guess it's because for whatever reason God made me, well, I've been called, you guys remember Star Trek, do you remember Spock? Logical, everything's logical, you know, it has to be logical. Okay, I'm cursed with the logic bone, whatever that is, and it's annoying to people, I know. It's taken me a long time to figure out how annoying that is to people. But I finally have listened and I've understood that I'm annoying, especially when I try to be overly logical. But I know that about myself. C.S. Lewis said, everybody has to decide one of three things. Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God. Jesus claimed very clearly, with no confusion, that he was the Messiah walking on earth. And that he died for our sins, and that was the payment for our sins, and that is our door, that is our way to get into heaven. So Jesus was one of three things. He was a liar. So you got to decide, am I going to make the decision that Jesus was a liar? Because he said it. He was a lunatic. He said it and believed it, but it wasn't true. He was crazy. He was a lunatic. So we got two choices so far. He was a liar. He was a lunatic. Or the other choice, and the one that I choose, is it was true. He was Lord. He is Lord. I mean, that's pretty logical to me. And I get stuck there. I think, well, there must be another thing that he could have been. I try to create the fourth L, right? I don't know what it would be. We all get to choose, liar, lunatic, or Lord. And I would encourage that we open ourselves to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Even after we've accepted Him as Lord, even after we've accepted salvation, and we're trying our best to live a life that would show that we believe Jesus is Lord, there's so much more we can do. There's so much different that we can do that demonstrates that we believe Jesus is Lord. And I believe one main ingredient of that is to be thankful and to be appreciative. Thank you for your attention tonight.